Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you're back with the National Intel Report. I'm Sam, sitting in for Chris, as Chris had to take a break here, but we'll keep moving right along. And my first question for John Amesworth. John, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you wonderfully, Sam.
Oh, good deal. All righty. One of the things I want to ask you, and this has been a question that's been gnawing at me ever since I've studied the issue of the war between the states or the war of northern aggression. I refuse to call it the Civil War because there's nothing civil about it. But yeah, of course, first of all, as we all know, I think the slavery thing was, totally a misnomer. The North had slaves, too. So, I think it goes without saying that we know where that mess basically came from. But that war was needed by then the Lincoln administration in my research to set a precedent to tell the rest of the states, don't you dare do what these southern states are doing or you're going to meet the same fate. And then, of course, in due process, this is how we started the long journey as we went through other wars into this New World Order. In fact, I'd be willing to say that the war between the states was a practice run for now what we're doing overseas.
Well, I think that there are some direct correlations. Let's go back to the beginning of your statement about the issue of slavery. That's always a good one to start out with, is we cannot deny that slavery was not an issue of the time.
Right.
So we don't want to deny that.
Right.
But the issue was not whether we should have slavery or not. The issue was whether slavery should be expanded into the territories. And because you had these huge slave populations in the South, and you have to remember that the North went through what was called gradual manumission, which was the gradual freedom of slaves, to where once the slaves, once they enacted the law to free the slaves, they said that, well, once these slaves become 18, the ones that are born after the enactment of this law, once they become 18 or 21, depending on what state you were in, then they become free. And also, any slaves that you have now, at the enactment of this law, which free slaves, you get to keep them for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Just any children from these will be freed upon their 18th to 21st birthday. So what did the North do? Well, before these children became 18 or 21, they took them down to the southern slave markets and sold them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they increased the slave populations in the South. They made money from it. And then just a couple other little tidbits is you're right that 30% of the slave states fought for the North. So it's hard to say that the North was fighting the free slaves when 30% of the slave states were actually in the Union. And the other telling argument is that two states were admitted into the Union during the war. One was free and one was slave.
Right.
So the North or the United States government admitted a slave state, and that was, whether you want to call it a state or not, who knows, it was West Virginia. But it was a slave state brought into the Union.
Right.
Now, it was told that it was supposed to abolish slavery but through gradual manumission, but that would have kept slaves in West Virginia well into the 20th century, even at that. So the slavery issue is an easy one to pretty much quash, that it was this morally induced war on the North to come free slaves.
Yeah, I mean, really, when you come right down to it, it's more about a sovereignty issue of the states back then, and it was a nice way to get the ball rolling. And
absolutely.
So ultimately, now here's what we're faced with today, and the states, of course, now have puppet operations that are puppets for the feds, and this is why we're in the mess we're in. 1-800-313-9443. Let's get Jim up, get him started, and then we'll hold him over through the break. Jim, welcome to the National Intel Report.
Oh, sorry about the traffic noise. I'm at a payphone.
That's all right.
I had a comment on the vote yesterday. Charles Saylor, a local representative here at Asheville, Western North Carolina, he has been saying, or his staff.
Okay, hold it right there because we got the break coming. Let me hold you over. We'll pick it up there, okay? I didn't realize the music was coming. We'll be right back.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
And
friends. Welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Chris Gerner. Keep in mind, John Stabler Miller will be back on Monday. We're with John Charles Ainsworth, Tiger, Truth and Government. Everyone's responsible. It's all about the federalization of the states. We just brought up Jim in North Carolina. Jim, welcome to the broadcast.
Hello. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Your program used to cause me to lose a lot of sleep.
Well, I'm so happy that you don't have to lose sleep now.
Yeah, no doubt. When the shortwave's up, I can listen to it.
Well, wonderful.
Okay, on this CAFTA vote yesterday, this apparently passed by two votes. Well, Charles Taylor, our local representative, he's a Republican, and I believe he's a chairman of our Appropriations Committee. He was saying before the vote, and everybody that called him, that he was voting against it. Well, when the vote came up and the count, it showed that he abstained. Well, now he's saying that he didn't abstain, he voted for it. So either he's lying or the vote was, the fix was in. I'm not sure which is which.
Well, that can be rather confusing, and certainly the manipulation to make people succumb to this direction is, it can be probably treacherous, I got a feeling. What do you think of the manipulation that goes on in these halls up there in D.C., John? What do you think the manipulation is to make them pass CAFTA?
Well, I don't know, but the one thing I did learn a long time ago is that, I don't know if anyone ever told you, but they lie to you.
Yes.
I just think that, you know, I think there's a tremendous amount of smoke and mirrors, I mean, of get people's focus on so many different topics that you don't really pay attention to what the real issues are. And we've got to focus down on that. Now, again, going back to your question of what they do to strong-arm these people, I'm not sure strong-arming. I just think oppression pays well. They say, hey, if you want your retirement, if you want your house, if you want all the perks that go with this, you know, you need to, you know, get on the bandwagon here and follow along, get in lockstep with us. I mean, I think it's just money. I think these people are just paid well to look the other way.
I think you're exactly right. What do you think about that, Jim?
Oh, no. This guy, he talks the talk like he's not a globalist, but he also owns a bank in Asheville, and he also owns one in Russia. So who knows?
He owns a bank in Russia?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, he's lying there, isn't he, yeah. John? Jeez.
It's a terrible situation. I mean, what's going on? I mean, what do you do? You look at these people, and they're bald face. I mean, just straight up lie to you. And look at what the American people do with these guys. They hold them in high esteem. Why in the world do we hold liars and thieves in high esteem who are selling out our country, selling out our rights, and selling out our children's birthright? Why do we hold these people up so high? The problem is us. The problem is the people. The problem is there is no moral fiber to draw a line in the sand and say, I don't accept this kind of behavior anymore.
Well, keep in mind, they've done their homework well. They've learned how to dumb down a population. They've learned how to drug down a population and keep us ignorant of the real truth and the real manipulation that goes on. But for us to accept CAFTA after all these years of NAFTA...
Well, NAFTA works so well.
It did for the globalists, and certainly after 9/11 happened, they said the global economy will continue, and they aren't wrong about that. The global economy is on the rise, but here we are in the Middle East. It's been predicted by many and some, and certainly Albert Pike predicted a third world war would bring us into a world government, and it's been predicted by some that there'll be a Middle East World War III to start it off. We don't have an infrastructure in America like we had at the beginning of World War II to fight a war. We don't have an infrastructure to fight a war, John.
You're absolutely right. We don't have the manufacturing ability. We cannot implement the building of huge arms. We can't do it anymore because we don't bring these materials in. We can't convert factories. We can't convert a factory that you no longer have.
Jim, anything else?
No, I guess I'm going to get off of here. After I get paid tomorrow, I'll send some money on the way. I enjoy the network and really one of the few places you can get any truth, you're sure not going to get it on the local radio.
Well, I appreciate that, Jim, and I'm sure the network does, too, and we've got to keep it rolling. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye now. This is the important thing. When I did my research into a network, which was within the last year, I spent a lot of time understanding what it takes to operate a network, and I couldn't even get to first base with the personnel to make it work. John's made it all happen to make this thing fall apart by no financial contributions to it, as this is a paramount time to do it, would be a real disaster, because everywhere you go after this is a step down from this network. So keep that in mind as we try to make this work. Your financial contributions are vital right now. John in New York, welcome to the broadcast.
Couple comments. You know, we don't act, we're dumbed down, such as, like, we know Clinton killed 110 people, or there are three pages of pull up Clinton's friends, and there's 110 dead people, it's last 12 being his bodyguards, and then it's like, well, they, you know, Tripp called in on Clinton about Lewinsky, and so what was that investigation? Lewinsky gives her plea, they go to, Lewinsky's, gets her tape, get the dress, and when it gets said and done, you got two people you got to look at, but they've spent $60 million. And everybody's just like, oh, wow, where we got, like, oh, wow, what? I mean, somebody just, that was a tremendous bribe, and now we've got that same gentleman. Everybody kind of laughs at him, and they make jokes at Saturday Night Live, but he's going to be president of the World Trade Organization. He isn't even truthful to his own wife, for God's sakes. And,
he's in charge of tsunami relief right now.
Yeah, imagine that. That they're creating the hurricanes. I called up ahead of those hurricanes when they interviewed, like, New York Knicks and Pensacola, and also the mayor. And they didn't get re-interviewed because I let them know that they're being created, and they were unaware of that. So as we make that information aware of it, well, I'll tell you, you can't quit. I've met a lot of people out of the military or out of different places. Boy, I got out of there because I just couldn't take it no more.
Yeah.
Well, you can't just leave. The government's still there, and you can't leave a bad government. Someone's got to stay there and fight their job wherever their job is. We got to keep our dukes up, and we got our levers of whatever. And just because they manipulated this vote through now, it's like right now, Clinton's a killer. LBJ killed JFK. We know that. So the mafia was in control of the government at that time. It hasn't changed. There's evidence of the oil line being kicked down by the peanut farmer, I can't think of his name right now.
Jimmy Carter.
And that was all orchestrated by, you know, the CF writes a report of how we're supposed to vote, and our guys just say yes. And so it's all under control, and if we don't stake on issue and stop it, and it's not just us, and it's not us against the Russians, it's the big boys are in control. We might have some people that might say, okay, they took a picture of the guy that was the terrorist in London, and somebody was able to screw that picture up for us. Someone inside got that picture screwed up, maybe. I hope I don't hang him by saying this. But at the same time, that picture should have never been developed. That the other film should be shown in the Pentagon and everything else. We should never have dumbed down 9/11 or the whatever else, Oklahoma, Waco. All these things, people ought to start jumping out of their skins. And when it's like myself, I'm a farmer that's been put down, Then to court, proven the judge guilty and everybody else, and when it gets said and done, they just refuse to pay me, but yet they keep up with my insurance premium. I'm going to take my plates off my car again and put down unfair regulations, no money, no place, no insurance, and I've already preempted myself to show the troopers that I'm right, so they don't want to stop me, but they're going to get told, well, you stop them or you're going to lose your job. Well, I don't know where I'm going to draw that line, but it's getting damn close.
John, I appreciate your thoughts.
Hey, love you.
Okay, thank you very much. John Ainsworth, any response to John's call there? A lot of frustration.
Well, there's a lot of frustration.
For all of us.
I think one of the things we've got to look at it with CAFTA, originally in this country, in order for a law to become valid, it had to be read three times. I don't think they could read these thousands of page documents three times.
Right.
But we also go and we look at, in 1933, when Congress passed the Bankruptcy Act, or Bank Holiday Act. It says here that, I mean, I'm going to read this out of a Senate report. There's just one sentence here. Whoa.
Wow.
Man.
What's going on over there?
Well, lightning just hit the telephone pole right beside my house.
Oh, my goodness. And you're still on the air.
Yeah. So, wow.
You got a thunderstorm over there?
Yeah, it just started up here.
Don't be darned.
We had that light just lit up my house.
Well, you're okay, huh?
But again, here, this is a Senate report, 93-549, talking about this act. And it says there was a total of only 8 hours to debate in both houses. There were no committee reports. Indeed, only one copy of the bill was available on the floor. And this is the bankruptcy act of 1933.
Mm-hmm.
One copy was on the floor for all the senators and representatives to look at. There was only 8 hours to debate, and there were no committee reports. And so these people did not know. Now, if these are representatives of the people, they're supposed to pass laws. They know what they say. And we're in a situation to where these people don't have a clue what's in these acts, whether
no.
it's Patriot Act or CAFTA, NAFTA. They just pass them.
Yeah, it's very frightening. And once again, this is the UN system in place, listeners. That's all it is. It's the continual building up of the UN system, continuing planning of this regionalization, and certainly I knew CAFTA was going to pass. They're going to do everything they could to manipulate it. FTAA is going to be the same thing, but that doesn't allow you to allow it to happen. You have to make your phone calls. You have to make your letters be read and legible. You have to make the sheer numbers of people in this country make a difference. They're counting the numbers of people that are upset and aware. They're counting every one of us to see statistically if we're going to be a force to be dealt with. And that's the thought I keep in mind. We're going to continue with your calls. And John Ainsworth from the Federalization of the States, Tiger is his group. Truth and Government, Everyone's Responsible. That's John Ainsworth. Hope everything's all right in your neck of the woods there, John. We'll be back. Stay with us. Listeners, we're back with the National Intel Report. I'm Chris Gerner with John Ainsworth, Truth and Government, Everyone's Responsible, Tiger. Let's take Grambo in Texas. So once again, the number to call, 800-313-9443.
800-313-9443.
Hello, Grambo in Texas.
Hi, guys. Yes. I've been waiting for, I have just written a book called The New World Order Defeated, and I've been waiting for John to get back, but I can't wait any longer. The whole situation has reached the point that we cannot dilly-dally any further. The book has in it over three very workable solutions to defeating One World Order. And we're not talking about any kind of silliness like revolution or any kind of violence or anything like this. These three or more very specific things that each individual human being can do that will end the New World Order. We don't have to live like this. This is nuts. And I assume that John Stadtmiller will allow me to sell this book through through Round Rock up there. And
you have any thoughts about your directions that you can give a preview to the listeners about what is in your book?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yes, of course.
A little preview?
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure. It seems that the people that are causing the problems on the planet, and particularly in the United States, are insane. If there's any question or doubt that they're insane, I'd like to hear it. I don't know of any thinking man who will not agree that these people are crazy. They're utterly, literally, certifiably nuts.
Well, they certainly don't care about you and me.
Well, they do things that are destructive to both the entire population and themselves, for crying out loud. I mean, look at the chem cloud. Look at the things they're doing to the drugs. Look at all of the insane stuff. These misguided animals, I don't think they're human beings anymore, are doing. Well, we don't have to tolerate that. I really don't.
Now, how many pages is your book?
My book is 204 pages.
Uh-huh. How long did it take you to put together?
Well, that's a funny thing. I started waking up in the middle of the night, 4 or 5 nights a week, and I would write for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours sometimes. I'd go back to bed, and then I'd wake up at my normal time, and I'd feel like I'd slept all night long. I felt refreshed. And I'd go read what I read and what I'd written. It was handwritten, you know, on mm-hmm. just a regular legal pad. And I'd look at that stuff, and I'd say, hey, that's good. I would remember reading it. It wasn't any kind of automatic writing or any foolishness like that. Mm-hmm. I'd remember writing it, but I'd look at it, and I realized that this stuff was good. It was far better than anything that I could, with my mental capacity, to put together.
How far are you along with publishing your book?
It's complete. I'm sitting here looking at them.
The book is published.
The book is published.
Oh, wow.
And it looks good.
And what's the title of your book?
The New World Order Defeated.
I see. Sounds pretty interesting. We need to get some preview copies of that book, don't we? Don't you think?
I've got John's got a couple of copies up there now.
Oh, does he?
He and Sandra are reading it. I assume. I hope they're reading it. They should read it. They've been aware of what's been going on for months.
Well, do you think you could send me a preview copy of the book?
Sure. Give me the address.
I'll tell you what. Let's leave you over on the commercial pause, and I'll give my address to Paul there.
Hey, guys, I apologize about doing a commercial-type thing.
Oh, no,
but
it's not.
I can't wait any longer, man. This, the time is now. There can be no more fiddling around with it. We've got to do it or not.
Well, I appreciate your efforts, and certainly that's very, very important that you do this. And other people are sitting back thinking, well, gee, if he did it, maybe I can do it.
Yeah, and, it's 200 pages, and I'm telling you, it's packed so full of stuff, you'll be blown away.
Well, I'm looking for a book that wants to defeat the problem.
Well, in all due modesty, it is the most important book since the New Testament.
Now, John, do you have any questions of Grambo about this book, John?
Well, no, not really.
Okay.
I got knocked off the landline. I had to call back in on my mobile. So.
Okay. All right. Grambo, stay on the line, and I think they have my address. But if not, I'll give them my address at the commercial pause.
Okay.
Thank you very, very much. Stay on the line there, Grambo. And here somebody wrote a book, listeners. He's got directions. He's, you know, this is what we all need to do. Do our best to do the right thing for our country. And certainly John's with us. The federalization of the states, highly educated direction of what's going on. We'll take your calls and see where you go with this. 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. A major pledge drive underway. Make your pledges and send them to Republic Broadcasting. Stay with us.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Oh, boy. Yes, CAFTA passed. And it wasn't a doubt in my mind that it wasn't going to pass. But we got to keep putting the strength of our numbers in place, increase our numbers. Maybe Grambo in his direction is going to make a difference. John Ainsworth in his direction is making a difference. Dave Wilson in his direction is making a difference. Is it a big difference? Time will tell. Let's take Fred in Pennsylvania, 800-313-9443. Fred, welcome to the show.
Hi, Chris.
Yes.
Chris, I want to bring up something that seems to be very odd about the CAFTA debate. I have not seen and had not seen a single TV story on or interviewing a health food store. I don't mean a giant chain, but I haven't seen a single, and there must have been calls into TV stations because I've called myself, but I haven't seen a single thing on the lead up to this vote in the Senate having to do with what this will do, how it will basically destroy small businesses.
What do you think of that, John?
Very strange.
Well, it will destroy small business. It will destroy so much. What we've got to do is realize this is not ending. Like you said, we had NAFTA, now we got CAFTA. We're going to have the South American agreements. It's going to keep going, so we've got to look at the large picture.
No, but
when are we going to say we've had it?
John, yeah. I'm saying there is an institutional problem with these media editors, because I can't, for example, talk to the people who make the decisions to put a radio story on my local
network,
big blaster AM news station. I can't do it. I've tried.
So what does that tell you?
And when I've gone down to the station, when I was actually invited to go down to the station, I almost got arrested.
That tells you anything wrong,
but that's what they'll do, is they have a bureaucratic barrier between reporters or between ordinary people and the stories that finally do make their way on the radio. And the other thing was, on the Senate vote, you had actually a defeat of the CAFTA proposal that was on AM radio, because I was listening to C-SPAN and listening to the radio at the same time. They said that was defeated. They didn't have the votes to pass it as a conclusion of a story. Now, at 1:30 in the morning, I finally got a reversal on the radio that said, oh, by the way, this is a new story. CAFTA was just passed 55 to whatever. How can you go up six votes in a couple of seconds after apparently it was defeated? What's going on?
Well, we're obviously not privy to that information, but manipulation and bribery can do a lot. Obviously, the American people spoke to their representatives and made it perfectly clear they didn't want to lose their sovereignty any further.
Didn't CNN have a poll that said 96% were against CAFTA?
Maybe. I wasn't paying attention to that. But if you say so, that would make a lot of sense, wouldn't it, that the American people are against this, and our legislators voted to increase the U.N. dominance of the North American continent.
And I just wanted to also bring up, as far as this whole movement is concerned, Jimmy Walters, Kathleen Keating, George Humphrey, there are some people who have, a couple million dollars apiece. And I don't think that they're very nimble as far as changing direction and being effective politically. What have you heard about any use of their resources on these current, and basically emergency issues?
I have not heard anything at all. Just not paying attention to that direction. As far as I go, I see how we are being maneuvered and manipulated. I go to the resource of documentation, and certainly my website is offering it to me, and so I'm concentrating on what Dennis is producing, what Darren is producing, and dealing with the news behind the news, which is the sustainable development implementation. I mean, the State Department has a website, Sustainable Development Partnerships. Nobody knows about sustainable development. I've been reeling about Agenda 21 all these months because it's the best-kept secret in the world. Why do you think CNN doesn't even talk about Agenda 21? Why doesn't anyone in any government position talk about Agenda 21 and sustainable development?
But Chris, I think people are waking up, because
I talk to people
in whatever workplace they're in. I talk to people, just friends, and there are much more people who are waking up. You have a split between people who are aware, which is more and more the average person,
yes.
And you have a split between them, and you have between these media editors, and they decide what gets further publicity as far as polls and things like that. There was a CNN poll. There was a 96% opposition to CAFTA. I don't know how the question was phrased, but there was definitely this an opposition to CAFTA at the late, growing opposition to it. And I think what happened was that you had a stealth passage of it in the Senate. I think it really was on the verge of being defeated. They could not count a majority vote, and you had a sudden flip of six votes in the Senate. And I don't even know if that was I haven't even seen any up or down results of that. I just know that they said it was passed, and you were living in a virtual age, and all we have is just their... The media say so on usually, what was passed and what wasn't passed.
Usually bills are supposed to be passed by a two-thirds majority vote, and didn't happen with the GATT or the WTO. It was the GATT in 94, turned into the WTO. That was passed by a majority vote.
And another thing is that people are under the misimpression, even people in Congress, even people that have been on C-SPAN, they're saying that we can amend this this treaty after it has been passed, and I'm saying
amend it,
that
repeal
you
it.
Cannot amend it because it is a de facto amendment to the Constitution. It changes the Constitution, and there's not going to be a way to the leadership of Congress is going to put their foot down and say no, we're never going to allow any revisions to this to come up because you've already done it.
Fred, I appreciate your participation. Thank you for your call. Let's move on to Dave Wilson in Arkansas. Dave, welcome to the broadcast.
Hello, Brother Chris.
Yes, my friend.
And hi, Tiger John.
Hey, Dave.
Hey. Here's a couple of good quotes for you. Whenever legislators endeavor to take away and destroy the property of the people or to reduce them to slavery under arbitrary power, they put themselves into a state of war with the people who are then absolved from any further obedience. John Locke, 1690.
That's correct.
And I will just say that tyrants can only remain in power by the consent of their victims.
Well, and there's no doubt about it. And just going back to what the previous caller was talking about, not to get away from you, Dave, is all governments represent somebody. And the issue is the government that's in place now, does it represent the 96%? They represent somebody.
That is not my government.
It's not my government either, because it does not represent me. That government
ceased
representing me and became a tyrant when it said my state no longer existed. And in fact, citizens of my state no longer have any rights whatsoever. And the only people that we're going to allow privileges to in this state are going to be United States citizens residing in North Carolina. And every state has that exact same problem.
Well,
we do have a government that has turned against the people.
They're nothing but mere corporate appendages of Washington, D.C. And these imposters that are so-called sitting in Congress by passing CAFTA, and I told our Congressman John Bozeman's office yesterday morning that any yes vote for CAFTA is a declaration of war against the American people and an act of treason.
But that's been going on. Unfortunately, our Congress has been doing this. I mean, we know what it did prior to the Civil War, during the Civil War. We know what it did World War One. We know the banking holidays. We know. I mean, it has been an entity that has given us perpetual injury and abuse to the people.
You bet. And I've got news for a lot of Civil War buffs. The North did not win that war. The federal government did.
Absolutely. That's a statement I say quite often. It was not a war of Northern aggression even. It was a war of federal aggression.
Absolutely so. And right plainly in the Constitution that this so-called central federal government is constitutionally mandated to protect the states from invasion. And what did they do?
Invaded.
Absolutely so. Therefore, we have not had a lawful government for well over 140 years.
Well stated, David.
Well, God bless you all.
Thank you for your phone call and your participation. Thank you very much. Let's move on as the board continues to keep moving along. Callers keep calling in, John, and certainly we're all concerned, and certainly your concern has been going on. For how many years have you been concerned about our country, John Ainsworth?
I woke up approximately 15 years ago, around 1990.
Yeah. Well, in 1970, I didn't think we'd have a country in 1990, and here we are in 2005, still on the air. And keep in mind, your participation with your finances to this network is vital. And John told us this last hour. John told us this week, and John's in charge. So make that contribution generous at this point in time. Kid in Minnesota, welcome to the broadcast.
All right, Chris.
Yes.
I'm a first-time caller to your show. I've listened to you for a number of years.
Thank you.
My friend Dave Wilson, who I've met personally and enjoyed, called in. It was good to hear him again.
Yes.
But I even am going to disagree with him. I do agree with John as far as states' rights. But I'm going to even take this back further. I think the Constitution was a con to start with. And I'll tell you why. When they accepted the debt of the Continental Congress, who... those individuals had placed their own property into debt with the British and the French. Takes it back because debt is servant to the lender. Back to the Bible. And when you get to that point, whenever your debt is servant to the lender and you accept that debt, and then when they put in there, the habeas corpus could be suspended in time of war, when they put in numerous other things that are there, I think it started back then.
Well, let me ask you now. Here you made this statement, and we're honestly trying to increase our numbers, aren't we?
Exactly.
We're trying to increase our numbers to get them to understand what's going on, and yet we start talking about our Constitution being a fraud, but yet we haven't even lived under a constitutional republic for our entire lifetimes. And then you got people out there that are on the line of being awakened or to go back to sleep. And once they hear about the Constitution being a fraud, they're going to say, oh, my God, these are a bunch of conspiracy kooks,
well,
you know?
They may, but I agree, you know, if the Constitution was totally enforced through the letter where the people still had their say and we still had states' rights, and that's where I'm going to agree with John. If we had the states' rights, we'd have a lot more power than we have today to correct some of these things. But until we get our monetary system corrected, we've lost this nation.
I believe that. The Federal Reserve System, the IMF.
Exactly.
Secretary of the Treasury, U.S. Governor of the IMF. We are a vassal state of the U.N. system.
Exactly.
And we've got to regain our constitutional money.
Exactly.
Well stated, kid. I appreciate that.
Well, you know, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I enjoyed John and his, what he's saying. And I want to do one other thing, Chris.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, my lovely lady and I, we haven't supported too many people because a lot of the people that we have tried to support have double-crossed us. I'll tell you what, we are going to support RBN.
Hmm.
I mean...
wonderful.
We are going to match your contribution.
Wonderful.
Not that we can afford it, but that's okay. We'll manage.
And who can? There are people out there that can.
God bless you. God bless Steve. And God bless old Dave over there.
Thank you very much,
kid. Double Darky Dave.
Thank you for your call.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. I appreciate it. John Ainsworth is our guest. Truth and Government, Everyone's Responsible. How do people get a hold of your book, John?
Well, actually, it hadn't been in print. We put it into a DVD form.
So
or,
it can be
a CD form.
And you don't have a website?
You can go to ncrepublic.org.
ncrepublic.org. There you go.
The best thing to do is, yeah, just email me at tigerja@bellsouth.net. One thing I'd like to say about Kit is, yes, we did borrow money for the revolution. There's no doubt about it. But we did finally go into the black. Our debt was paid off in Andrew Jackson's last term.
I see.
We got back to a zero balance. And, of course, we've outdone ourselves since then. But
Andrew Jackson, the last best president we ever had.
I think Andrew Johnson was.
Okay.
Yeah, because he fought for the Constitution against the Radical Republicans.
So, and that was during, right around...
Well, he took over when Lincoln was assassinated.
That's what I figured,
and,
yeah.
And so he's the one that was vetoed all the Reconstruction action, vetoed the U.S. citizenship bills and all that thing. It was very problematic.
Okay, let's move along. We've got three callers left. Wayne in Texas, welcome to the show, Wayne.
Well, great show, fellas. I appreciate all the good work you're doing there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
John, I have a question for you on the NC Republic, but I want to address something else first. First up, I know there's a lot of anger and frustration about CAFTA and NAFTA and everything else and sustainable development, but I think we really have a choice here as to how we're going to handle it. And I really feel like if we come together and come up with some strategies to fight what's coming at us, I think it'll help. Here's what I mean. The powers that be are going to use local and county government types to implement all these new codes, rules, and regulations, and their particular goal is going to be to extract either more dollars from us or exert more power. And I think we have to combat this from the angle another fellow brought up is the issue of contracts. What they're going to do is attempt to contract us into various scenarios where they can continue to push through all these new things coming up. And the key question is, how do these agents for these government agencies, how are they able to come into our personal affairs and force me to do something that I don't really want to do? And it comes down to the contracts. Is that what you, would you agree with that, John?
Well, no. It's going to take a little bit longer than we have before the break, so I guess we'll get back to it after.
Well, okay, Wayne, I'll let you go. Let John respond at the conclusion of the break, and we'll take Julius and Lauren. Thank you for your participation, Wayne. I sure appreciate it. John, keep your thoughts in place. We'll have you answer on the other side John's question. Stay with us. Oh, boy, we're back. Just about out of time. Can you respond to Wayne's question, John, in 30 seconds or less?
No, but I'll do my best. Yeah, the best I could tell, he was saying that they get to exercise authority over us through contracts, and that's what binds us to them, and that's where they get jurisdiction over us. Mm-hmm. And I would say that they get jurisdiction over us when we recognize them as having authority over us. And this is a fundamental issue, is this government, and this gets down to the lawfulness of the government itself. Does it have a lawfully provable jurisdiction? And what we do is we challenge the jurisdiction of the states. In other words, well, the jurisdiction of North Carolina. In other words, in North Carolina, there's two states of North Carolina that entered the American Union. One was the 11th state of the American Union, and one entered June 25th, 1868, and it was coerced into existence by the federal government. It was not put into place by the consent of the free people of North Carolina. And so we just say, this state that's in place now, we're not sure it's a lawfully created entity. If you will prove it's a lawfully created entity, then we will abide by your orders and your laws. The problem is, in every court case we've ever gone into court here in North Carolina, the state has remained mute when asked to prove that it is a lawfully created entity.
Okay, very good.
It's a much deeper situation than we can go into.
Let's try and take these two callers as we close out the broadcast. Julius in Arizona, let's give you a minute here, Julius. Welcome to the show. Sorry for the late delay.
Oh, hello there.
Yeah.
I find that it's really getting increasingly difficult to fight City Hall, but it can be done. A lot of times what we've got to do, since there are so many of us that have to work for a living, and you know we're not operating with unlimited fiat money through foundations and whatnot to support and continue the growth of empire and
good
government.
Point. Yeah,
we've got to work smart. And for example, a number of years back, Waco, the Rules of Engagement was a film that some activists in the Tucson area, Second Amendment people mostly, had a chance to get into Tucson and show early on before it ever really made it to the big screen. It had just been put together. And we looked all over for a theater to show it. And a couple of guys that I will describe charitably as knuckle-dragging Second Amendment activists went around, and everywhere they went, they were turned down, flat turned down.
Yeah, I understand.
And what happened was their appearance, the way they talked, was self-defeating. And so I made some inquiries on my own, and I made a point to call a university. I knew they had some theaters on campus at the U of A. And I said that I have a unique small cultural group that has a message that needs to get out, and we can't seem to find a place to show our movie. Are you into offering outlets for unique cultural groups with alternative viewpoints? And the guy said, sure, how can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
And then I took down the trailer, the demo movie. It was on a VCR, and we plugged it in, showed the guy what it was about, and he said, my God, he says, I never knew this happened. He says, we're going to schedule you a time.
Wonderful,
so
Julie.
We got a theater. So it can be done. Sometimes you have to ask the right questions. You have to know how to communicate to people, and you can succeed. So just don't get downhearted. When these things come up, they can be fought.
Thank you, Julius. I appreciate
it. We're going to have to do it.
We've got to move on. I'm sorry. Okay, Lauren, I'm sorry. A parting shot, Lauren. Welcome to the broadcast.
I'll do this fast, okay? God has not relinquished his ownership of the humans that he created. Terry Schiavo was killed with the consent of this government. That doesn't make it okay. Okay, the guy that called about the Constitution being a fraud, he was right, okay? Back when this started, I'm descended from a family called the Demarais, and they were here, this Frenchman who was a Jew in France, but all of a sudden he was a Roman Catholic in South Carolina in 1739, fighting for the British government. And I've got, I mean, you wouldn't believe, basically, it's all fake, okay? It's a false paradigm. What they want you to do is look sideways, left, right, England or the colonies, America or Iraq, you see? But it's false.
Okay. I'm sorry, Lauren. We've got to run, and we're out of time. And thank you, John, for joining us, my friend.